I think we're connected.
Great.
Great.
So you have all the questions, and I'll do the best to my ability to answer.
Hi.
Hey, I like your bikes. They're cool.
More fits.
Cool bikes.
Very cool fits.
Yeah.
So actually, where are we? I am with Ia Orgo.
Minus. Uh-huh.
He's minus Ia.
Yeah.
And actually, he's a real birthday present to me. And we're having kind of a holy encounter, whatever that means. And we're walking at the lake in Flevoland, DNA Law 11, the heart of the Netherlands, actually, geographically and maybe spiritually as well.
It is really beautiful here.
And I'm taking you for a walk on the dike.
Uh-huh. It's really peaceful and everything. And you called it love?
Love? Love is in the name, Flevoland. You know what?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, I tried to invite you to take the name of the country or the place where you are and just turn it around, play with it.
Uh-huh.
Every letter has a meaning, a numeric value, but in this case, Flevoland, if you turn it around, you got DNA.
DNA, uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which has to do something with the message you are conveying.
Well, the DNA is our spiral vertebrae that goes to the heavens. It's connected to every cell on every place on this planet and in the universe. No? So this is a great view of the DNA. Because I heard that it's been underwater till about 60 years ago. So
yeah,
like you were mentioning last night, that this is new land. So new land that you can create a new way to observe yourself and how you feel and think about things. So we're here to experience that. And then you mentioned love, no?
Mm-hmm. Which are the next four letters?
Next four letters. So there's a lot to do with love. Not very many people know exactly what love is. Mm-hmm. And in a sweat lodge, I do the Native American Indian sweat lodges. And inside one time I asked Creator, what is love? No, I was having, some questions, mm-hmm. no, in my life with relationships and stuff, mm-hmm. just like everyone. And even before I asked the question, I knew the answer. You know? And the message came through to be this: what is love? Love is recognizing your own divinity. So we are divine beings, even though people have told us otherwise, that we're just flesh and bones and we think a whole lot, no?
Yeah.
And we preoccupy ourselves with things that haven't even happened yet, no?
Yeah.
And there is a message from the Toltecs, which is part of the ancient culture in Mexico. They were the priests and the priestesses. They were the shaman. They were the medicine men and women. And there's a message that comes from them that is the basis of what I feel in our lives as human beings is the two basic things is to love and to be loved. Mm-hmm. Now, if we are divine beings, then love is what to you? Ask yourself that question. What is love to you? Right now, ask it.
What is love to me?
You feel you go through your life and your experiences and you come up with something, whatever it is, that is your way of recognizing what love is. Now, we have 7 messages from love. And it's the vision of our ancestors in Mexico, the Toltecs. Mm-hmm. Number one.
Excuse me, before you start.
Sure.
That's a rainbow, right? No, not on the sky. The seven messages.
Oh, yeah.
They form one rainbow. Okay, that's what I saw in a flash.
Uh-huh. It's not only that, but it's also the what people call the chakras, which are 7.
We're spotting a park bench here. 7 chakras.
Uh-huh.
But let's sit down. Wonderful.
really?
Yeah.
They're the glands of our bodies, our physical bodies, mm-hmm. that respond, are more sensitive to different frequencies, you know, starting with the colors that affect us, like a red, you're moving real fast and you want to get, it's fire, it's da da da. Then you go to orange, no? Mm-hmm. Which is now you deal with emotions of your work and everything, and then your stomach hurts or you get butterflies before you talk to somebody or you feel something in your stomach. That is part of the chakras, mm-hmm. no? Then you have the yellow, no? Mm-hmm. Which is the heart, the sun, no? Mm-hmm. And then and then you go up to the heart, and people have the green and pink color, no? Mm-hmm. So we go with green, no? So green is all around us. Look at what I see here. I see green and green and more green. No, yes. It's a good time of year. It's not snowing. And it's not cold. I'm sitting in the sun and I feel like I'm in Mexico. Yeah. Then see that green color, why is there so much green? Well, green is in the heart chakra. Green. So to fix anything, problem like with your lungs or anything like that, use green. Use alfalfa, use eucalyptus. Use the green plants to help you cure that part of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the throat chakra, no, the thymus, and that is our immune system, and that's the color blue, mm-hmm. no? And then we go to the what they call the third eye, no? Another gland, and then that color is like a violet color. And then right up on top is the white, no? All colors, yeah. No? So, love has to do with that. What vibration? So, like, the kids when they're young, a lot of hormones, you know? They secrete them from their brain and it goes down to the genitals, yeah. No? So now we have a lot of those things going on in our lives that we know that happened when we were kids too, growing up, no? But nobody really explained it like that, no? So, like, there's a lot of repression from the religions and everything to, you know, act a certain way, no? And that way is a thinking way. Our way is a feeling way, no? So by feeling what love is, it gives us a real basis to take the next step in our life to, one, love ourselves more, two, find the right partner that will come automatically when you start to love yourself. There is no other way. People are looking for men and women, or women and women, or men and men, and they're trying to find their mother, their father, their something that they can relate to, that they're attracted to. And they forget about looking inside and finding out exactly what the nature of love is. Mm-hmm. Here are the 7. Okay. Love does not expect anything. No, fear is full of expectations. So look at that, just the number one, no?
Yeah.
So it expects nothing. I can say I love you, and then you can say you love me, because I expect you to tell me you love me. If you don't say that, then what? How come he doesn't love me? How come she doesn't say she loves me? So, number one, we expect that. Now, that's part of our fear-based society, okay?
Yeah.
So, number two, love does not have any obligations. Not one. Love is love. Fear is full of obligations. And when we act from obligation, our resistance to that obligations makes us suffer. When we don't complete that obligation, now we feel culpable. We feel, I don't know the word in English.
Vulnerable?
Well, no. We feel culpable. We feel guilty.
Guilty.
So when we don't complete that obligation, then we feel guilty.
Got it.
So now you're more obliged. Three. Love has respect, not only for all of our family, light family, but also for ourselves. Love, the fear, does not respect anything, including yourself. When you feel sorry for you don't respect yourself. When you feel sorry for someone else, you don't respect yourself. So there is no respect if you have fear of love.
Yeah.
Four, love is patient. Be patient. Don't expect everything to come to you immediately. It is based on trust and faith and patience and respect.
Yeah.
So this is why we need to be patient in our lives, to be able to accept whatever is given to us, whatever we attract in our lives is part of what we are.
It's the white dog.
Yeah.
Could that be?
It is. You're a white dog. White.
And I have a white dog companion. Yeah, right?
Exactly. No, I mean, I think that's fantastic. When I met that dog,
yeah,
I was meeting you and your wife.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that is, and a dog, the dog, the Anubis, is the guardian of the end of infinity, the underworld, no?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're talking about too, in respect to underworlds, it's inside of us,
yeah.
You know? There's our heaven or hell, no? So what I have a message for the people is, in between all of this of love, is that anything that is in our minds, you personally have invited that thing in. So now, who has that obligation? Who has that responsibility, better yet, of what they invite in? What do you want to invite in? Do you want to invite in love? Or do you want to invite in fear? So Hafiz, a special Sufi poet, and I have read him a lot. I really admire the way that he has looked at life and lived his life and made it like a big joke. You know, we're a big joke. No, we think we know. No, and the error of humanity is that we think that we think, and we don't act instantaneously from our heart, which is our intuition. So this is where we have made many errors in judgments and in fear-based projections. And so now we're here at this point deciding what to let in to our lives. Fear or love?
Simple.
So love is patient, and we just talked about that. Number five, love does not suffer. Fear is full of suffering, especially self-suffering. You make yourself sick. Oh, why did he leave me? Why did she leave me? I did all that I could. I did this and that, and now she's leaving, he's leaving. What do? My life is falling apart. I'll look for somebody new. No, I won't. And you know, now you're just suffering. Now you're looking at just a physical aspect instead of going again inside where everything is, the whole universe, and asking yourself the question that you already have the answer for. So I can't tell you or anybody, you know, what they don't already know. And Hafiz said, well, just think of it like this. You go to a hotel. There's a cheap room and an expensive room. The cheap room is the room of fear. The expensive room is of divine love, where you have to let go of everything, including who you think you are. So that costs a lot to all of us as human beings. So this is where we're at. Well, you want to go cheap? Well, there you can join a big club. No, but if you want to really look deep and really feel that your own divinity, your own divinity has nothing to do with anything or anybody else. So you have to start there. I know a lot of people have started and then now they're trapped in the job that they don't like, that they're getting paid for, and they just do it for money, no? Instead of the love of doing a work, a labor of love, I call it, no? Instead of like a job, I have a labor of love. People come and we talk, and I get my plane flight here, I get food, I get to meet very different people, but all of the same heart. They speak a different language I do not understand, but I feel the love that comes from their heart, no? And since almost everybody speaks English here, I can speak English right now instead of Spanish. No, I'll practice my English.
Right.
And you know, I really hope that I can make myself clear enough that that each one of you who is listening will take that to heart, will use your intuition and progress on a path of unity consciousness, a convergence of unity, a convergence of consciousness, which Dr. Carl Kalman from Sweden has called. And I have my friend Ian Lundgold, who has passed away, him and I developed at my place that's called The Portal in Mexico. It's southeast of Mexico City, a few hours, and it's called Amatlan de Quetzalcoatl being the plume-feathered serpent, and relating Quetzalcoatl to like a Buddha, Allah, Jesus Christ. So he was on that level incarnate, and he was in and was at the place that I am now guardian of. I am just guardian. I do not own the land. I don't want to own the land. I want it to be a place where a sanctuary for light, no, and love, which is the same thing. No, light, love. So, to continue on.
Yes, please.
Number 6. Love has no attachments. So, I laugh at that because, look at, we have a long way to go, but it's also a short road when you open up your heart and you really listen to your intuition. It becomes a shorter road, though. So don't despair if you have felt every one of these things.
Gee, I've never known love.
Right.
And that can't be true. Everybody knows love because everybody is love.
Exactly.
But indeed, the detour into fear and through fear is a universal movement that we all took part in. I mean, I can't imagine anyone who listens to this now to not identify with one or two of these, comparisons, because these comparisons really help us make a contrast, and the contrast is so important for learning purposes. So once we know this is what I get if I allow fear in my mind, and is what I get if I surrender to love, the choice is natural, and nobody can do the choice for anybody else.
Exactly. No, because we are unique.
Yeah.
So you just ask yourself, who can look behind your eyes? Okay? Now you'll come up with nobody can. Mm-hmm. So what does that indicate to you? That each one of us is special. It's just like you see a bunch of snow, but each snowflake is different. Each snowflake is different. Now, that is a miracle.
Multiplicity and unity, which is what I was, pondering tonight. I was thinking about that from yesterday, from our wonderful gathering at Centre L'Innovation. And I actually think I always allow my teacher to look through my eyes. And that's wonderful, because I know I'm not the only one looking through my eyes, you see.
Hey.
And my teacher is pure love. So when he looks through my eyes, he's changing my vision.
And you attract that. That's the law of attraction.
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
So the law of attraction isn't I'm going to attract a big job, a big house, a big car, a lot of money, a lot of power. No. You want to attract the simple, natural things to your life, no? That are original, no? So, original meaning like pure, because there wasn't any one or anything guiding those words to come out, or those actions, or that part of the ceremony that needs to be done in a certain order. Mm-hmm. Because without order we have nothing. So like for instance, when we go into a sweat lodge, we get cleaned first outside with a feather or copal, which is a resin that I gave you some.
Yeah.
It goes in through the olfactory system, which affects the hypothalamus.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
A gland.
That's a gland, yeah, in gland. That contains silica. It's silica based. Mm-hmm. So silicon dioxide is a quartz. No? So now we can work with a living stone person that actually grows like you and me, and it has a spiral ladder, a light ladder, that is in its DNA, if you want to call it that. No, I mean, a lot of scientists would say, no, it's not DNA, it's part of this process, no? Mm-hmm. But the quartz is really the only stone that grows like you and me. So,
wow.
What it does is that first water underneath, like a volcano, super hot, right? Mm-hmm. And it's looking for its mother. Mm-hmm. What is its mother? The mother is silica. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it finds its mother with heat and pressure. It starts to form a hexagonal form in quartz. So quartz is silica, water, a little bit of carbon, oxygen, of course, and piezoelectricity. Now, the quartz has six sides and one tip point. Now, that makes a seven. So we are that quartz. And quartz grows from bottom up, and most of the time it comes up milky. So that's our emotions from the first chakra, the reproductive glands, mm-hmm. through the stomach, you know, up to the heart. You know? So when it gets to a certain point, some crystals, not all, they become clear.